You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest, and to part 3, the final, for the Dogman of Carter's Lake. I hope you enjoy, as I have. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons. If you want to support the channel, just click on that join button right there in blue. You're my boy, Blue! Now let's get spooky. The bullets that had been fired from Darren's gun left oozing holes across the beast's chest, arms, and back, but it seemed unfazed by any of them, regardless of how such a thing had caused it to flee only a little while before. It was at that point I knew it had been messing with me this whole time. If at least 6 bullets didn't so much as cause it to wince, a single shot would have never forced it to retreat, nor the pitiful swat of my pocket knife. I looked over to my friends, one of whom had already fallen to this horrendous creature, and the other seemingly passed out beside him. I hoped he was just sleeping it off anyway. I almost jumped out of my skin when the giant hand finally released its trophy to the ground, before echoing its stomach-churning howl across the still forest. This is it, I thought, as I sat on the grass, unable to convince my legs to do anything more than just shiver beneath me. I had no idea why it hadn't finished the job yet, but I could only assume it enjoyed the scent of my fear, along with what my bladder released some moments before. I also couldn't help but wonder if it wanted to allow me a moment to fully appreciate what would be putting my life to a grisly end this night. Perhaps it wasn't quite ready for the festivities to come to an end just yet. Hell, maybe the turd was just a little beat after flipping the cars and tearing its victims apart. How the hell could I even think about figuring out what was going on in that monstrous noggin? I could feel rage setting in, both at which he had done to my friend, as well as the torment it had put me through. Yes, I was screwed and I knew it, but I would be damned if I was just going to sit there and take it. Sure, this was likely to end only one way, with my own blood blending into the crimson puddles that lined the road and grass. But I had one goal in mind at the time, one simple thing I wanted to accomplish before I coughed out the blood from my own strewn-apart chest cavity. I wanted to take at least one of those glowing eyes from the beast, maybe even both if I had the strength left before the end. As I slowly lifted myself from the ground, my enemy hunched over slightly, seemingly in preparation to pounce. My heart was jackhammering again, but I had achieved a certain degree of resolve, now that I have accepted my fate, so I wasn't about to back down. It actually looked a little startled when I began the charge towards it, lifting my gun to unleash another assault of gunfire into its fur-lined flesh. It roared out while crunching down before leaping into the air upwards and towards me. I didn't let up on my attack, training the barrel of my gun on him as he soared through the night air right at me. Having kept it in my sights the whole time, I managed to jump to one side before it slammed hard into the ground, burying its clawed paws into the dirt. I still won't stop, not until the clicking of the trigger signifies I had spent my load, causing an all too familiar panic to reawaken within me. Yes, I had riddled the beast with holes, each of which leaked and squirted darkened fluids across the matted fur, but I hadn't even remotely slowed it down. Once more, I got to my feet, still wielding the empty gun like a worthless shield, before sprinting towards the snarling beast again. As soon as I got close enough, I swung the stock of gun right at it, managing to catch it across its jaw. It gave a satisfied yelp before it swatted at me with its oversized claws outstretched, tearing through the flesh in my shoulder like a hot knife through butter. I screamed more from the sound of the deep gashes being carved into my tissue, as the wound itself went numb almost immediately, as did the feeling in the fingertips of my left hand. I attempted to raise the arm, but could barely get it to twitch, let alone move. The blood gushed from the four deep rips, which had surely torn through tendons and arteries alike. If nothing else, I thought, maybe I'll bleed to death before I get shredded to ribbons. I gave an exhausted chuckle while backing away from the beast, who still had my blood and skin pasted to its fingers. It stalked towards me, with its claw outstretched as though it sought to rub it in my face that it had cut me deep. I still continued my lifeless giggle, while feeling around behind me with my one functioning arm, hoping to be able to guide some sort of path of escape. When my back followed my fingers against a tree, I laughed harder than before, as the madness of my own impending death caused my mind to shatter. The beast cocked its head to one side, stopping in place to glare at me. It appeared to be studying me, as though it had never observed such a reaction from any of its prey. "Just do it, you piece of shit," I said through gritted teeth, in between my pointless laughs. Naturally, the beast ignored my words, though it crouched down onto all fours to face me directly. It still wore that furrowed and seemingly angered brow, but those glowing red eyes peered into mine as though it was curious in some way. As we gazed upon one another, I felt my own brow wrinkle, while I allowed the smile to widen across my face. Yes, I was certain my bloody demise was only moments away, but the bastard didn't even realize it had given me a chance to achieve my one final goal. I tilted my own head this time, hoping to let my face be commented to the monster's memory, before I quickly carved a pocket knife directly into its right eye. It felt as though it had popped in the attempt to force it deeper, hoping to pierce right into its damn brain pan. Darkened, pus-like fluid spewed across my hand, while its squealing howl shrieked out from its gaping maw. It jerked back, before swatting at me again, sending me soaring across the air against the bark of yet another tree. The impact caused my head to spin, while the shrill wail of the beast caused my stomach to empty everything I had consumed over the past few days. It was a sound unlike anything I had ever heard, or even could hope to describe with any degree of accuracy. I was only vaguely aware of the new injuries from the collision with the thick trunk, while I retched across the forest floor. I attempted to hold my body up with my one good arm, feeling as though it was filled with gelatin more than bone, while lifting my head to glance back towards where I had fled from. The beast had rolled onto its back, clutching its enlarged hands over the spewing socket. I took the opportunity to force myself back to my trembling legs once again, before weaving in and out between and around the trees of the dense woods. I could feel my body weakening, and I was in far more pain than the shock would allow me to admit, but I still had to attempt to track down where I left my girlfriend. I was still certain I would not survive this, especially with my body growing colder by the second, likely due to the amounts of blood that still leaked from my shredded shoulder, but I had to reach her. Had I the slightest ability to second-guess my actions at the time, I may have realized that if I should find her, I would have likely led the creature right to her, but my common sense had spurted from my open wounds, as much as whatever life force I had left. As I continued my escape, I pulled off my belt, wrapping it around my ruined shoulder. I bit down in the attempt to muffle my scream. As I tightened the leather down, though I had little doubt about the beast could still smell my blood and piss-soaked jeans, even if I could remain silent. It wasn't until the trees gave way to that wide and open field again that I knew my time was running short. I had still been aware of the moans and whines of the beast as I sped away from it, but those agonizing sounds were now replaced by noises filled with pure and exhilarated rage. If I had had anything left in my stomach or bladder, the splitting and shattering wood a ways behind me would have caused every ounce of it to spray across the long grass. I still kept pushing forward, refusing to look back. until I heard one last tree topple to the ground, only some feet behind me. I finally stopped in place, realizing I was at the end of my journey, while I felt whatever blood I had left drain from my face. I turned to see the behemoth standing directly at the tree line, panting heavy breaths while staring me down with its only functioning eye. I can't exactly say its facial expressions were in any way relatable, but there was nothing short of pure hatred etched across the one I stared into. I clenched my fists, preparing to face the inevitable as the thing took long strides on its hind legs towards me. My heart was in full panic mode, feeling as though it was fit to burst, but I knew there was no point in running. I did enough, I thought, as I allowed a smirk to reach across my lips, while gazing into the lone red glowing eye. I even chuckled again, but it didn't pique the curiosity of the creature this time. It just kept drawing closer, hunching over as it approached, spreading out the clawed fingers to strike the second the gap was close enough. "I left my mark on you, you piece of shit," I said, smiling wider and more maniacal. "How's that lack of depth perception treating you?" I shouted, laughing like a madman. "That's right, buddy boy. You'll never forget my sorry ass, will you?"
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
It released a high-pitched, snarling howl that almost turned my hair white, damn near causing my legs to give out beneath me again. But I stood my ground. I wouldn't give it the satisfaction of showing my fear, not if I could help it anyways. "Give me your best shot, you little bitch! I frickin' dare!" It happened so quickly I could barely even register it. The beast was almost right at me, crouching down even further than before, as though it meant to snatch me up and launch us both from the ground. When I heard the explosion sounds of multiple gunshots in succession, I almost thought it was my own eardrums rupturing from my head being crushed at first. I cut my eyes to where the shots came from, just in time to see Darren, next to what looked like to be another police officer, both unleashing their weapons on the thing, before it leapt from before me to where they stood.
"Run, Jack!"
my friend yelled out, as the thing swiped its hand across him, before digging its claws into the side of the cop. I wanted to move, but my legs wouldn't budge. I stood in place, horrified at the sight of the officer's left arm being peeled away from his shoulder, like the wing of a fly, spraying thick blood and strips of shredded tissue over my friend. His own squealing scream echoed across the field before the yellowed and jagged teeth gouged into his throat, turning the shrill sound into no more than a gargling whimper. Darren had dropped to the ground and was sliding away from the horrendous sight, with his own chest heaving blood from grizzled gashes across him, trying to force the hand which held his gun up from the gravel. The creature let out another awful howl as it dropped the limp body of the fallen cop to the ground. The fresh corpse made a moistened slapping sound when it hit, which finally allowed me to take control of my legs again. I ran towards the road as the beast stalked towards my friend. It appeared in no hurry to get him, as it had left Darren quite the mess already. It almost looked as though it was taunting him, snapping its jaws and growling as it drew closer. Time slowed around me as I approached the road, while the monster reached down to pull my friend from the ground. I was only vaguely aware of the new sounds at first, as the only thing I could focus on was the large, fur-lined hand wrapping around both Darren's legs as it lifted him from the gravel. I could hear my friend screaming his own tormented howl, while the beast tightened the fist which held the twin shins, crushing the bones into a fragmented pulp. I cut my eyes across the road in search of the gun the cop had been discharging and the horrendous monstrosity, when a flickering stream of blue lights brought my attention back to the real world. The growing sound that accompanied my friend's anguishing screams was that of multiple sirens drawing closer by the second. The monster had no chance to react, as it was only paying attention to its prey. When the armored grille of the police car made contact with the legs of the beast, I witnessed its bones snapping backwards before it tumbled across the hood and into the windshield of the car. I ran the Darren as he slipped free from the creature's grasp, tumbling off to the side of the road. More gunfire erupted, along with a variety of growls and whines. There were tearing sounds of both cloth and something leather-like being sliced through, but it all faded away into the background as I sped to Darren's side. From what I could tell, he was unconscious, but still alive. The four gnarled rips across his chest and stomach were gushing blood, and his legs hung limp to each side below the knee. But I did whatever I could to shield him from the battle being waged on the road. Over the course of what felt like minutes, the sounds of war, anguishing screams, and guttural growls thinned out to only moans and whimpers. Voices called out to one another in and out of radios, while I felt a blanket being draped over my back. I don't know how long I just sat there with my mind reeling from the shock of the night's events, while the paramedics worked on doing what they could for Darren. More vehicles were lining up behind those who initially arrived at the scene, but it was all a blur to me. That was until I finally remembered why we came out here in the first place. Without as so much as speaking a word to any of the police or medics, I charged back towards to where I hoped the wrecked Humvee was still resting. Some voices called out from behind me, but I wouldn't stop. I had to get to her. I had to know if she was still there. It took little time to arrive back to the large SUV, still partially wrapped around the thick tree. The fact that we had been this close this whole time caused my heart to race once more. As soon as I got there, I slammed my hand against the hood before attempting to crawl back through the busted-out windshield.
Jill, baby, I'm here. Please tell me.
I don't know if the sight of her raising her own hand out from behind the driver's seat as I pulled myself through the opening made my heart settle more, or beat even harder. As soon as I wrapped my fingers around hers, her beautiful face peered out next to it.
"Are you okay?"
I asked, still heaving for breath. While an officer and a medic gently pushed me to the side to help her out of the buckled vehicle, she just nodded with tears leaking down her face. She cut her eyes to my blood-soaked shoulder and then back to mine.
"Are you okay?"
"I am. I am now."
"I didn't come out," she said, wrapping her arms around my neck, while tears leaked down her face. "Even when it sounded like hellfire was raining down around me."
Like I said at the beginning, it's only been a few days since that night, and I still don't quite have my mind right. My shoulder is still pretty messed up, but my doctor is pretty confident I can at least get partial mobility back. I got to come back home yesterday, and Jill and I are already talking about moving in together soon. I'm so glad she managed to avoid all the madness of that night, but she's been my rock ever since then. God knows I would have been completely broken without her by my side. Darren is still at the hospital, but his prognosis looks decent. The gashes across his torso were deep, but luckily they didn't shred anything too important. His legs, though, will never be the same. They had to take the right below the knee, as the damage was far too extensive. But after a couple of surgeries, they managed to save the left. He's holding up surprisingly well. But he and I both have some serious physical and psychological therapy to look forward to. Of course, I'll take all that over the alternative. Dane will likely be recovering from the loss of his husband for quite some time. We're all pretty messed up about it, but nobody could deny that he was a damn hero. I know I would have never survived without his help, and neither would Darren. Blake was a good man, and I don't think I will ever forget him. But I truly hope that Dane will see the other side of these hard times. He deserves better than this. Regardless of all who fell, while attempting to put an end to the beast of Carter's Lake, I believe it is still out there. The battle was brutal, claiming the lives of a total of 4 officers, while leaving several more with scars that will never fade. But I think we at least heard it. From what I was told, the creature leapt back into the trees after putting up a fight that nobody expected to survive, but it left a lot of blood in its wake. Yeah, we definitely heard it. But I was the one who took something from it. I can neither ask nor expect anyone to believe any of this. There was no reports of what took place out in those woods that night, and some government officials had made us sign some non-disclosure forms, while practically swearing on a stack of Bibles that we would never speak a word about what we saw. But I've never been such of a religious man. To my knowledge, they're still out there, investigating those awful events, and possibly attempting to hunt down the beast. But I doubt it'll turn out how they'd like, one way or another. I still hear it at night, the sounds of the beast, as well as the screams of its victims. I close my eyes, and it's as if the gnarling howl is calling out from behind the glass of my bedroom window. Jill says that she doesn't hear it, so it likely is little more than some significant mental scarring. Still, even though I live a good many miles away from where we spent that ill-fated weekend, every now and then, I see one single glowing red eye blinking from the darkness. Maybe it is all just in my head, but perhaps I haven't seen the last of the Dogman of Carter's Lake. From what I have read online, those sightings come in cycles, so I can only hope that this one has come to a close. Of course, it is very possible that this was only the beginning.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.